Well, to continue our journey through Gospel of John, we're up to chapter 7. And tonight's passage, beautiful truth about the living water here in John chapter 7. So we finished last week there at verse 36. And here in verse 37 tonight, the Bible says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified.'" So tonight we'll talk about the rivers of living water. Let's pray. Dear Lord, use your word in our hearts this evening to teach us. Please guide us in your truth. And Lord, work miracles in our lives through the power of your word. May you be glorified in this time. We commit it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus here is inviting all to come and drink of this fountain. And what he's saying is that when we believe on Jesus Christ, that we take a drink from his fountain of eternal life. He talked about this. If you go to John chapter 4, remember, he mentioned it when he talked to the woman at the well there in Samaria. So look at John chapter 4 down to verse 14. He says, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." So here he talks about this well and this spring and this living water. And what he's referring to here is specifically the Holy Spirit. As we'll see, the Holy Spirit and salvation, though, are synonymous for Christians, are they not? The day we're saved, we receive the Holy Spirit. He's the one that regenerates us. He's the one that moves in and makes us the temple of God. So what he's saying is that if people will trust on him, if they'll believe on Jesus Christ, that's what he says there in verse 38, "He that believeth on me." So the key is faith. You've got to place your faith in Jesus Christ and believe on him. And when you do, what shall happen? "But out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So God here is saying that when we get saved, and we'll look more at it here in a moment, the Holy Spirit comes in and indwells us. But I think he's saying even further that it's a flowing thing, so it even goes out and then touches others. Because think about it. When we get saved, we get the Spirit, we also get the fruit of the Spirit, do we not? And what's the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit? Primarily, and the gifts of the Spirit? To touch others, to make a difference in the lives of others. And so, it obviously, the source is God, and it comes into us at salvation through the person of the Holy Ghost, and then the Holy Spirit touches other lives. We're just the instruments. But it's a living water, so life is involved. Notice John chapter 6, if you would, verse 63. We looked at it a couple weeks ago. The Bible says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing, but the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." That word quickeneth means to give life. It says it's the Spirit that gives life. The Spirit quickeneth. And then go to 2 Corinthians 3:6, and we'll see it again. So he is referring specifically to the Holy Ghost that we receive at salvation. When we receive eternal life, we receive the Holy Spirit into our lives, who becomes this river of living water. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:6. "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." So one of the things the Holy Spirit does for us is when we trust Jesus Christ, he gives us a new life. Amen? We become a new creature in Jesus Christ. And it's the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that gives us that life, that regenerates us and births us into a new family. That's why God calls it being born again. Now, at the very end of the Bible, look, go to Revelation 22, verse 17. God brings this living water up again. This is the kind of like the final plea here at the end of the Bible to mankind. for salvation. And notice Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. So who's the bride? That's us. If you're born again, you're part of the bride of Christ. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So what is the water of life? It's eternal life. And the source is God. So go back to our passage here in John chapter 7, verse 39. It says, but this spake he of the Spirit. So he's already made it very clear that this rivers of living water is the Spirit of God, which they that believe on him should receive. So he's now saying that there will come a day, this is when Jesus spoke, that there would come a day when believing on Jesus Christ would be synonymous with receiving the Holy Spirit. Now that wasn't true until after Jesus rose from the dead, as we'll see. But for us, it's instantaneous. It happens at salvation. And in the church age, if you go to Romans 8:9, in the church age, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you're not saved. That's what God says. Look at Romans 8:9, and we'll see this. Having the Holy Spirit and being saved are synonymous. So it's not something that comes later. You don't get saved and then say, oh, Lord, please give me the Holy Spirit. No, when you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit, because that's part of your salvation, is him quickening you and giving you new life. So notice Romans 8:9, it says, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you don't have the Spirit, you're not one of God's. Now, this is Romans. This is written to the church age Christians. And as we know, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. But we need to talk a little bit about the timing of this. So go back to John 7:39, where Jesus says, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. And so Jesus here is referring to future doctrinal events, isn't he? He's saying that while Christ was on earth preaching and working miracles and training his disciples, when people trusted Christ, they did not receive the Holy Spirit as a seal. That didn't start until later. And that's what it says. He was not yet given. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. So what Jesus is saying is that it's a future event, and that he and that the Holy Spirit and Jesus are going to essentially trade places, if you will. And so Jesus is saying that after he ascends to heaven, he even told us this in John, then he would send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And so while Jesus was on earth physically, God was walking the earth in humanity form. The Holy Spirit wasn't here indwelling people permanently. But once Christ was glorified, and what is the final step in his glorification but his ascension? Then the Holy Ghost was given. So let's look at this and understand the timing. Go to John 14:17. And Jesus here, again predicting about this future doctrinal event for Christians. John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now he's speaking to his disciples here in John 14 in the upper room. So it's not that the Holy Spirit wasn't present. He's always been present because he's God. I mean, he made the world. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, right? He's always been here, God the Spirit. But we're talking here about indwelling people, making them his temple. So he says to his disciples in the upper room, he's with you, doing his work among the hearts of men. There will come a day when he will be in you. But it's not here yet. Now he says a similar thing in Luke chapter 24. So let's turn over there. Chronologically speaking, this comes after the passage in John 14. This is after the resurrection, but before the ascension. So John 14 is prior to Calvary, and Luke 24 is after Calvary, but before the ascension. Okay, Luke 24, 49. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." I want you to wait at Jerusalem for an event. Now, we know what that event was. They didn't. They didn't know what they were waiting for. They just were told to wait. They were waiting for Pentecost, weren't they? What happened on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came down and filled them? And sure enough, if you go to Acts chapter 1 now, so chronologically speaking, this is after the Luke 24 statement. This is just prior to the ascension of Jesus. Jesus ascends to heaven in a couple of verses after this. So just before he goes back to heaven, he's now spent all this time with his disciples after the resurrection, teaching them more of his word. And just before he goes back to heaven in Acts 1:5, he says, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So you can see the timing laid out for us here. He says to his disciples who watched him ascend to heaven in Acts 10 and 11, or chapter 1, 10 and 11. So just before that, he says, "He shall be. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost." It hasn't happened yet. And of course, in a couple of days, it happened, didn't it? On the day of Pentecost. And it's been happening ever since. The day we're saved, we get baptized with the Holy Ghost. So, Jesus here is referring specifically to the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, who is that river of living water in our lives, eternal life, new life, born-again life. He comes in and he flows through us with a new life that we can then touch others with his gifts and his fruit. And he has amazing ministry in our lives as God's children. And I'll just mention some of them. In 1 Corinthians 3, the Bible says that he will dwell in us. Of course, Acts 1:8, "Ye shall receive" what? "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." So he came to give us power to witness, because he goes on to say, "You shall be witnesses unto me." And then if you go to John 14 again, here Jesus, John 14 and 16, talks a lot about the ministry of the Holy Ghost in our lives. John 14, verse 16. Notice what he says. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." So one of his ministries to us is to comfort us. It's one of his names. He's the comforter. I looked on down in verse 26 of the same chapter. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." So not only does he comfort us, but he teaches us. Teaches us the Word of God. It says, "He shall teach you and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you." So he helps us even to remember, which is even more important as we get older. Trying to remember the verses that we've memorized. And then go to John 16 and verse 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." So he is the comforter. He's here to teach us. He's here to guide us into truth. "For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Isn't that a blessing? But that's not all. Go to Romans chapter 8 now. And so the Holy Spirit who indwells us, who is that river of living water, eternal life at salvation, comes into our lives and becomes our comforter. He becomes the one who will teach us, the one who will guide us into all truth, the one who empowers us to witness. But even goes further, Romans chapter 8, verse 16. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." He's also there to give us that assurance that we're one of God's children. And then on down to verse 26, the Bible says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." He takes our feeble prayers and makes them acceptable to God. His ministry is quite amazing, really, when you think about it. And then go to Galatians 5. And so he's here to empower us. He's here to comfort us, here to guide us into truth. He's here to teach us. He's here to give us assurance. He's here to help with our prayer life, to intercede when we pray. And then here in Galatians 5, he also is here to give us his fruit that we might touch others. Look at Galatians 5:22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." All that comes from God, the Holy Spirit. So it's quite amazing, all the things that he does for us, isn't it? That is the river of living water. At salvation, he moves in. And as we read, he indwells us. I forgot to mention, he also seals us, doesn't he? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Sealed until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit seals us. He comforts us. He empowers us. He teaches us. He guides us. He gives us assurance. He bears witness with our spirit. He intercedes in our prayer lives. And he gives us his fruit. I didn't even mention the gifts. We could take an hour now and discuss each of the gifts that he gives us. And they're all different because God decides who gets what gifts. That they're called the gifts of the Spirit in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. So what a blessing that when we get saved, God gives us the Holy Ghost. And Jesus here refers to the Holy Ghost as the rivers of living water. How do we know that? Verse 39, "This spake he of the Spirit." So at salvation, God, the Holy Spirit, moves into our lives and gives us everything that we need to accomplish what he's called us to accomplish, to serve him and to witness for him and to be what we need to be for him. No Christian can go to heaven and say, "Lord, I wasn't able to do what you told me to do." Because God's going to say, "I actually moved in and gave you what you needed so that you could do what I told you to do. I gave you the power. I gave you the wisdom. I gave you everything you needed. I was there. You just didn't rely on me and allow me to make it happen." So the rivers of living water, we are so blessed, amen, that we receive the Holy Spirit at salvation. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for being so good to us and empowering us.